It's from my husband, and I know what it is. I know because he told me right after we were married that he told me what he was going to get me on this Christmas. I guess I just never thought this Christmas would actually get here. So. See, I always knew that I was meant to be a mother, and my husband was meant to be a dad. I just knew it. I was sure of it. Till I wasn't. Happened slowly at first. I didn't notice it, but after a while, the cute little jokes that our friends made, they stopped being funny, and well, the constant pep talks from our family reminding us that it just takes time, well, it started to become more defeating than encouraging. It's actually a little frightening to think how many dark places my mind went to during those years. I mean, I thought, had I done something wrong? Was I being punished? I even convinced myself that somehow, some way, God had abandoned us in our pursuit of our dream of being parents. I thought, maybe if I prayed more or trusted more, believed more, then maybe, but after years of praying and trusting and believing, I had nothing to show for it. Nothing but a broken heart and a bunch of empty tissue boxes. Well, we eventually just learned to live with our broken hearts. I mean, it was just the way it was going to be. Till it wasn't. It was December 21st. I remember because I opened my advent calendar and there was an extra piece of chocolate in there. I love that. I love it when that happens, but that was not the best part. The best part was the scripture message that came with the chocolate. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has chosen me. He has commissioned me to encourage the poor, help the brokenhearted. Oh. See, in this prophecy about the coming Messiah, God reassured me that not only had he not forgotten about us, but that he wanted to help us. Well, that little seed of hope found its way into my heart. And yes, God does have a strange way of doling out kids, but we soon realized that we didn't have to necessarily experience the miracle of childbirth to experience the miracle of having a child. So, while my friends were off to Lamaze classes, we met with lawyers and social workers and notaries, and it took us a lot longer than 9 months to become parents, but that little miracle, she was worth the wait. In my wildest dreams, I could never have imagined how God would orchestrate this for us, but he did it. He did it. You know, just the other day, God reminded me that he provided baby Jesus in a very strange way on that very first Christmas. He didn't come like everyone thought he was going to show up. He also reminded me that because of Jesus, I am his adopted child. And if he loves me as much as I love that little girl, well, I don't have to ever question his love for me again.
Father, we thank you for the gifts that we are receiving this year. And Lord, these are gifts that are being held out throughout the year. They don't just come at the end. They don't just come on December 25th. And Father, I pray this morning as we look at this idea of our adoption by you, Lord, could we leave here today with a more deeper understanding of what it means that we have the right to call you Father, to be called children of God, even calling you Abba. Lord, would you speak to us this morning through your word? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I loved the phrase that she used there in that video where she said, we had resigned ourselves to just, you know, things, this is just the way it's going to be. You know, we're not going to be parents. We're not going to have children. We're going to sort of live, as Thoreau said, lives of quiet desperation. That's how, you know, Henry David Thoreau said, that's the way most people live their lives. But the way she put it was, we had resigned ourselves to this. This is the way it was going to be until it wasn't. And the thing is, that's often the way a lot of us live our lives, right? We find ourselves in certain situations. Things are, you know, not going to change. This is just the way it's going to be until it's not. And we may be saying even of ourselves, not just circumstances on the outside, maybe I've caused it. Maybe I've screwed up. Maybe it's the way I've lived my life. It's the way I've treated people. I've made some huge mistakes in my life. And no one's ever going to want me around them anymore, especially God. And so I'm out. I'm done. But it's not. It isn't over. Jesus came, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:2, when people were walking in darkness. We talked a few minutes ago about Mary and Joseph, a little bit about what they went through. The irony of this being the candle of peace in the midst of the way they had their child. And we saw how God brought all of these things together. He calls everybody together. Imagine if we had that kind of a situation today. Imagine the government saying to us, okay, everybody up, everybody march, come down to Washington, D.C. It's like a trip to the DMV that lasts for months. Doesn't that sound very peaceful, very defeating? But it wasn't. It was the means that God used. And in the middle of all of this, one pregnant girl knew better. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And this month we are opening the gifts of Christmas. Last week we opened the gift of hope, reminded us again of the prophecy. And here it is. It's lived an entire week in my possession. And I want to thank those of you after church last week that came up to let me know how to keep this poor plant alive. And I've done it. I've been feeding it banana water all week. Apparently that's what they like. And apparently it does. It's alive. Now that's a miracle. Yay! Okay. So there it is. And so look, there's another gift under the tree. Oh, and the light came on too. Let's see what this one is. It says open here. So I know how to follow instructions. And, it's a plaque. It's a tintype plaque. And it says, family, like branches on a tree, we may grow in different directions, and yet our roots remain as one. I love that. It's talking about our adoption. It's talking about our being brought into this family called Crosswinds Church. This year, we're all about unity. That's our theme for this year. And so that's a good reminder for us, not only of what God is saying to us today, but of what we are doing throughout the year here at Crosswinds Church. Like any adoptive parent, God's love is the reason that he's given to us this gift of adoption. And with his love comes a whole bunch of other things, peace and security and the joy of belonging. The Apostle John began his gospel with this particular work of Jesus. In John 1:12, he says, but to all who did receive him, God, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this phrase here is a description of adoption without using the word. Now, later, as we're going to see this morning, the Apostle Paul uses the Roman understanding of adoption as a metaphor throughout the New Testament. Our relationship with God is that we have the right to become children. And you know, we already know that Jesus is the Son of God, but then we also are children of God. And in fact, Scripture goes on to tell us that we are co-heirs with Christ. We are there with Him. Have you ever, we came through Thanksgiving a week and a half ago, and have you ever looked around at that Thanksgiving gathering in your family and thought, I wonder if I'm adopted? I wonder what relationship I really have to a lot of these people. Well, the cool answer this morning is you can be adopted, and hopefully you have been adopted, and that is by God Himself, as we're going to see in this morning. And so what does it mean to be adopted? Well, the first point that I want to make this morning is that you can have new relationships. That's what adoption means, brand new relationships. Not only can you be adopted, but everyone. God came for the entire world. It is His desire that all of us be adopted into His love, into His grace. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 8. He says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him." You see, guys, when we become a follower of Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit. We are then adopted into God's family. And God treats us differently. You know, you like to hear, or people like to say things like, we are all God's children. And in one sense, that's true. But in a greater sense, once we are adopted in Him, and that's something that only can happen to those of us who are followers of Christ, to those of us that have taken that step to become Christians, that have taken that step to say yes to Jesus Christ, it's only for those people that we can have this relationship that Paul is talking about here. And in this relationship, God treats us differently than He does, just like our parents treat us differently than they do other children. I think about how sometimes I wonder, why do certain things happen to me? If God loves me, why is this happening to me? And then I read, well, the God loves, to those whom God loves, He disciplines. Just like I did with my kids. And just like they wondered, does my dad love me if he's doing this thing to me? Well, of course we do. And then Paul uses this phrase here, Abba, Father. And that's, you may or may not know, that is a very familiar term that is used by children, and that what they would call their dads Abba, and it essentially means daddy. It's a very familiar name. You know, my children, interestingly enough, all three of them had different names for me. My oldest, Jamie, she typically would call me Daddy-O, okay? I'm Daddy-O to her, or sometimes Padre. I don't know, Jackie and I are Padre and Madre, you know? So I'm Daddy-O to her. To Wendy, my second born, I am Father. You may have heard Wendy, hello, Father, okay? And then to my son, I'm Pop, okay? How you doing, Pop? It's interesting, those names. Now, there was one time when one of my kids decided that they were mature now, and so they're going to call me Willie. And I took them aside, and no, I didn't get mad at them or anything. I just explained to them, you know, you are part of a unique set of people. There are only three people in all of history, in the whole world today, that have the right to call me Dad or father or pop or whatever it is. And I would hate for you to miss out on that opportunity. It's funny. My daughter, Wendy, and I told you, she calls me father. And that gets us into some funny situations once in a while. A few years ago, she and I were doing a play at Lifehouse Theater. And she was, at some point, you know, she references me and she says, "Father, what's a da-da-da-da?" You know, whatever. And there were people at the play in the cast with us that thought I was her priest. And so, yeah, we had to explain that one. And which means that she's not going to stop doing it. She's doing it all the more nowadays. So, but what does our adoption mean to us? It means that our status has changed. We are now sons and daughters of the King. Okay, we have, you know, you can look at me with a little more respect now, right? We are rightful heirs to all that God's family has. In other words, when you're adopted, you become an heir to the estate of whoever that family is that has adopted you. We become an heir to the estate of God, and just think of the things that come to us from that. And then thirdly, and far from the least, God has chosen us. And guys, that last point there, that is key as in my years as a youth pastor, in my dealings with adopted children. Because you see, and I'm sure there's some here today, and you could verify this, they struggle. Adopted children do have a certain amount of struggle with the fact that my parent, whoever they are, my parent or parents, they gave me up. But they can also be comforted, I would hope, by the fact that not only did someone give you up, but somebody actually chose you. The mom in the video read Isaiah 61:1 from her Advent calendar. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Christians, you see, we have a purpose, a reason for being. God has chosen us. He has adopted us to do what? To encourage the poor, to help the brokenhearted. That's who we are. We are God's family. We are in this new relationship. So what else does adoption mean? Well, here's an interesting truth. God's adoption is for everyone. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter 3 when he says, 2 Peter 3, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Now, when we participate in adoption, and I've walked with some parents who have adopted children, we have a tendency to be very selective in who we adopt. There's a lot of factors that go into adopting a particular child. There's family dynamics. There's the inheritance, the heirs aspect of it that we have to think about. There's compatibility with other children or family members. There's financial considerations. There's physical considerations. The gal on the video talked about how difficult it is to adopt. It takes far more than the 9 months it takes to have your own child, and there's lawyers involved, and the courts, and the judges. God's plan of adoption is this. With all of that as our plan for adoption, God's plan of adoption is, it goes like this. Do you feel unwanted? Do you feel unloved? Then come on over here. I got you. That's God's plan of adoption. He takes everyone. He takes all of us. And why is that? Because he is love. In Ephesians 1, he says this in verse 4, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved." What did adoption mean to the Apostle Paul when he was writing these things? Well, His vision, that when he uses the term adoption, he's talking about Roman adoption. And the word that he uses here is actually a legal word. It's not a religious word. It's a term that actually comes from Roman law. And it means out of an old family into a new family. There's a lot of, this could go on and on for hours talking about, you know, the neat aspects of adoption and how that impacts us. Let me just give you a couple ones. Here's an exciting one. Do you know that under Roman law, a child that you had naturally, your own child, you could actually disown them. You could get so tired of them, you could just tell them to take a hike. Go, get out of here. You could do that. But if a couple adopted a child, that option was no longer available to you. They assume because you made the choice. Children, as we know, are not always a choice. Sometimes they're an oops, you know. Not any less glorious, but you know. But when you choose to adopt a child, at least under Roman law, that relationship could never be changed. Think of the implications that has for us as God's adopted children. Also, any debts that you might carry over from the previous family, as a child at least, would have been canceled. You have a brand new life. You have a clean slate. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I have a lot of things in my past that I'm not proud of, but those things that happened prior to knowing Jesus Christ have been wiped clean, and I praise God for that. In Roman law, you're under a new father. You're responsible only to him, and you are an heir along with all of his other children, natural or otherwise. A human father would often adopt someone, a child, from the same status, but God, on the other hand, adopts us into a new status, a status that we could never attain on our own. We are royalty now. Galatians 4 puts it this way. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There it is again. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And it's in this passage we see the when and the what of Christmas. The when is the fullness of time, God's time. He sent his son with all of that was going on in that society, in that world, with those people. Nevertheless, it was peaceful because it was all coming about as God had planned. And the what was the gift that was sent, adoption as God's children. And then what does he say? We have peace with God, knowing this truth, that we are adopted. We're saved from sin. We're saved from death and Satan and hell. And we are secure in a new family with a father who loves us. And he doesn't just love us. He loves us unconditionally with a perfect love. He will never turn us away. Our earthly parents are not perfect, right? I'm not perfect. You know, I wish I had a do-over, but it really wouldn't matter because I'm sure I would do it over and just be imperfect in different ways. That's the way we are. But God gives us a place in his perfect family. In Psalm 27, King David wrote of the trust and the confidence that he had, even in the midst of adversity. There were, as he says in the psalm, there are adversities, there are enemies, there are evildoers, even among those who were the closest to him. In verse 10, he says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. And that reminds me, there's one more great aspect, one more great thing about adoption, and that is you have a place now to belong. Many of you, I'm sure even here today, think that you're kind of alone. Nobody really knows who you are. And if they did know who you are, well, they'd reject you, right? There's that old phrase, you know, if I knew who you were, you know, then I wouldn't be talking to you. But the same is true for me. If you know who I was, then you wouldn't be listening to me. We're all in this together, guys. And we think that this condition is permanent. And so we accept it. We live those lives of quiet desperation. This is just the way it's going to be until it isn't. When I was growing up, probably up till like age 10, 13, 14, my whole family, all the Barron's family, would get together. It was probably 100 of us or more. And we'd get together on my uncle's turkey ranch in Ritchie Canyon. And we were all there together. And one of the things that impressed upon me is that I was a part of something a whole lot bigger than my family. And my family had problems. All families do, right? But I don't really care about your family problems. I was living with my family's problems. And I'm struggling with the things that are happening in my family and the interpersonal issues that we deal with. But then on Thanksgiving, we would go to Uncle Lewis's house, and I'd see all these people that are all part of my family, and every one of them is named Barons, and they're all telling stories, and I thought, I'm part of something a whole lot bigger. I have this huge family. I am a Barons, and I belong here. I am one of these people. Most of those people are dead now, and my sister and I are kind of trying to resurrect that whole feeling. And so, you know, we realize, okay, we're the patriarch and matriarch in the family now. We're going to try to continue to get this thing going. But we need those traditions to remind us, and that's what God wants to give you this Christmas. He wants to give you a place to belong and a peace to experience as part of His family. As we are here on the second Sunday of Advent, the Day of Peace. The mom in the video talked about again that verse in her Advent calendar. God has chosen me. That's who we are. We are one who has been chosen by God. Hopefully you are one that has been chosen by God. And to, what does it say? To bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That is what we are to do. That is our purpose. Those are the gifts of what it means to be adopted by Him. How are you going to celebrate this year God's gift of adoption? Well, let me give you a couple of ideas. You can respond, the obvious one is, you can respond to God's offer of adoption. These are the takeaways, by the way, band. Nobody's getting up, so I'm going to be leading the final song. The obvious answer is, you can respond to God's offer of adoption. You can do as we say with the ABCs. You can admit your need of a Savior. You can believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, and that you are who He says you are, and then you can choose to make Him your Savior, your Father, your Abba, okay? Secondly, you can share God's gift with others. I have a new method. I got these cards a couple of years ago, and Dale Jonasson, I'll go ahead and name him. He and a bunch of the other guys have been laying down carpet, and so for the last few months, and I had to finally give in and let them do my office. Now, my office is sort of the Roach Motel of the church. Things go in, but they don't come out. And so, there is so much stuff. I don't know where it all came from. Anyway, so I pulled all of that stuff out of there, and now I'm slowly, after I got my new carpet in, I'm slowly putting things back, and even some stuff is going to the trash, and I'm giving things away. But I found these. These are from a few years ago, and they're kind of a neat way of sharing the gospel at Christmas time. So I'm going to put a stack of these down on the table here, and if you want to come and get one or some more, I even have some more back in my office if we run out. But it's kind of a neat way to share the gospel during Christmas time. The front says, "From God with love," and it has a Christmas gift, kind of a nice little theme here. But it uses as its text, this is kind of neat, John 3:16. We all know that, right? Most of us anyway. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And that's the gospel right there. First off, we have God loves. And that's the first part of it. God so loved the world. The second part is God gives, that He gave His only begotten Son. And then you ask the question of those people in your world, will you believe and receive? And that finishes the verse, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Would you like to pray with me right now? And so as I say, I'm going to put these on the table down here. If you want to come up and grab some of these, feel free to do that. But let's get out into our worlds and share some of the things that we have heard here today about God's adoption of us and the fact that He desires to adopt every one of those in our world. And finally, you can demonstrate, maybe in some very practical ways, God God's gift of adoption. Maybe some of you here today would realize, maybe I should look into adoption. It's not easy, but maybe that's where God is leading me. Or maybe giving the gift of funding to a couple who would love to adopt, they just can't afford it. Again, in our unity as the body of Christ, that's one of the benefits we have. We're not in anything we're doing alone. We have each other. There's also the whole idea of adopting a homeless shelter or a senior center, or our street ministry has adopted all kinds of people. They're going out. When they go out, it's like, hey, how are you? How are you? And they know these people by name, and they've adopted them, and they're helping them, and they're working with them. Or maybe adopt someone here in our congregation, a student or a grandparent or someone who's maybe lonely, nowhere else to go, feeling kind of down. Maybe this is the Christmas that you adopt them and have them come in, be a part of your family and a part of your celebration. Think through some of those kinds of things. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because the Lord has anointed me to do what? To bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. We are adopted, and we have the right to be called children of God, of our Abba, our Father. Amen? Father, thank you for your word, for this encouragement to us today of just what you have done in our lives, and Lord, what you desire to do through our lives. I do pray, Father, for anyone right now. This is the holiday season, and sadly, the holidays are often marked by times of greater stress and depression and anxiety. And Father, I would pray for those who are experiencing that, even here in this room, even as we go out on the internet, Lord, I pray that if they are experiencing that, and if they're like me, it's easy to get to the point of saying, well, this is just the way it is. This is just life. And Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit would fan that spark within them, that desire within them that you put there, Lord, to take advantage of what we've seen in your word today, to become adopted by you, to become your heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, that we would have that right to be called your children and to call you our Abba. And Father, I pray that we not just settle, but recognize that things are the way they are right now until they're not. And until they're not is always coming. We see that. And I pray, Father, we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.